I want to mention something. Yesterday we watched the David Letterman top 10 hits, and Peyton Manning came on, and he said that he was to comedy as David Letterman was to comedy. Okay? Remember that whole thing about the football player?
Uh-huh.
Well, a couple hours after we watched that, I opened up the next page of Bleeding Edge, and there is Peyton Manning on that page, right there. And I knew who Peyton Manning was in the book at that point, having seen the David Letterman thing.
He was J. Edgar Hoover.
In what sense? He's not J. Edgar Hoover, so what do you mean?
Yes, he is. He was J. You said you knew exactly who he was. He was J. Edgar Hoover to Thomas Pynchon.
No, I knew who. I wouldn't know who Peyton Manning was before yesterday, but because he was featured on David Letterman, I learned. So then when I read it, and the first next page, when I got around to reading Bleeding Edge last night, the first couple of sentences talked about Peyton Manning. That's what I knew, who it was referring to. Okay, so why did David Letterman resign? What's his problem? Ion, let's explain the neuropathy of David Letterman. You got anything to say on that?
He's done. He's done.
Why is he done? Is he bored with his jokes? Bored with the people he interviews?
He's got to go out at the top of his game.
Is he at the top of his game?
He had to be bigger than Jack Parr, and he is.
Well, there's an article I read yesterday that he never beat out the other guy, Jay Leno, after 1995. He led Jay Leno from 93 to 95. Then Leno had a big show.
Who is? Yeah, no.
What?
We were talking about how long on the air. He's been on the air longer, and he's been number one longer, and he's even longer than Johnny Carson.
No, he's never number one. He's only number one for a couple of years, according to this article, and then Jay Leno was number one after a special show he did in 95.
You mean in the number of
times.
Viewers?
Yeah, I guess the viewers, yeah.
No.
The number of years.
Oh, okay. Anyways, they said for being
like
number one in ratings.
It's like you, Bob. It's like, no, screw the ratings.
Yeah, I'm number
like
one.
You.
I've known
you
as long as me.
You're not doing it. But you're doing it for the long haul, not for a good haul.
Ah, okay. So I'm on the David Letterman road.
Look, he debuted in February 1982, for Pete's sake.
And my birthday.
And the first.
That's my birthday, Carol. I was 60 years old, February 82. Which day in February?
February 1st.
You also say February 2nd.
Well,
right?
It would be going into February 2nd.
Yeah, see, look at that. He debuted at my birthday. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that, Ion.
And the first guest on the first show was Bill Murray.
Who does What About Bob and all the Bob movies?
Yeah.
Well, again, people, it's
and
all about your schooling.
He was on the top 10 last night.
What?
He was on the top 10.
Yeah, he was the first. He was the number one guy.
Yeah.
He's his main guest. Yeah. Guest. So there's his Bob vibe. So while I was too busy fighting to become chairman of the Secret Council 10 in the 80s, David carried the ball for me. That's the way we would look at that. Right, Ion?
Dude.
David Letterman quit. So I now move ahead in length of performance, right? And Bob takes over. I'll write that down.
And the crowd roars.
Spits.
Yeah, he was a man of mystery.
Yeah, born on my, he started on my birthday.
J. Edgar Hoover,
I see,
that is.
J. Edgar Hoover, right. And he had the files on everybody. He knew everything about everybody.
He, like you, understood disassociation.
Are we going to keep asking questions or let the INETs have at INETs?
In a minute, yes, but let's just see what they did say so far. They've been typing manically here.
Oh, right.
Connie's got one forehead now. That's Sarah hallucinating.
What? There's a Connie there? I'm supposed to be Connie.
No, they're talking about you. Sarah says you have one forehead.
Oh, I've got your forehead.
Okay,
yeah.
So here's a question. What about frequency modulation, Ion? Is that a factor in frequency communications?
It can.
What would you sub in instead of frequency modulation?
Dorothy L'Amour.
What was my question, Carol?
I missed it. It sounds so weird.
Yeah. I guess somebody could type my question into the chat. But what did I just say?
It sounds like something about frequency modulation. But
yeah, well, yeah, Dorothy L'Amour. See, now here's where he's bringing the people in, like that Crucial Conflict video.
Mm-hmm.
People are the cause of these things. So Ion, all these structures that we've been enumerating, from the hypothalamus to the heart to the chromosome 14, are not as important as the people. And the people are cells.
The road to Singapore.
Bing Crosby. Sue Photo, are the Hopi important, and which of the books are important? Frank Water's Hopi books. Well, Frank Water didn't do a good job of understanding the Hopi. Correct, Ayam? You're not impressed with his books.
No.
So you don't have to read the books, Sue. You're just going to have to come on here and ask Ayam directly.
Oh.
Wrong?
No, we just groaned. We just groaned. We were going to vomit a little bit, but we were trying to hold it back.
Pam was very impressed with 2:32 a.m. was impressive Tuesday. Is that because of the What Youth show? Are you making a snide remark about the What Youth Tuesday action?
Or non-action.
At least Eliza's appreciating tonight. She says, this is yumminess, part two. Thank you for following through with last week's topics. You're welcome.
We're just trying to camera this
out. You notice, Sarah, that you post it more than anybody, and we don't address any of your issues. Cool it. Say one thing, we might address it.
She does sing with the music, and it didn't even offend Sue this week. It's great.
Kevin in Kansas says, red energy was to balance out the blue field. Did you say that sentence? Red energy was to balance out blue field?
Dude.
And what would you like to say about that? Do you add to that, or do you require a question?
The road to Zanzibar.
Leon goes, what the fuck, Ion? Crucial Conflict. That's probably, Leon grew up on Crucial Conflict. You can't believe that Ion knew Crucial Conflict. So we're naming the Bing Crosby road pictures. What was that guy's name? Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. Bob Hope. Bob is our hope. It's about me again.
Funny.
Right?
Yeah.
Julie asks, why did Robert Plant go back to England?
Dorothy L'Amour.
L'Amour. That's the answer to Julie's question?
Yes.
Are you writing that down, Carol?
No.
So we're doing the road movies. Is that the road to Emmaus?
Morocco.
That was another movie, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, here we are. We're getting a sequence. Ian is now stuck on the groove of road movies. So we'll just bear it, people.
The road.
It goes through the
road. Road to Bali.
Road to Maui. Can we go back
Bali.
To questions then?
No, well, here's
Bali.
The answer. The road to Bali. The road to Utopia. The road to Hong Kong. We're up to almost 1962, Bob.
All the Bob Hope road movies. I should put in Dorothy L'Amour.
They were the early travelogues.
Mm-hmm.
Kinetic
the road
space.
To Rio.
America's Kinetic Space.
The Road to Rio. The Greatest Show on Earth. The Hurricane. Donovan's Reef. My Favorite Brunette. Don't forget that one. And then Carolyn's favorite, Johnny Apollo. Then the Fleet's End. We're up to 1942 now. And then Her Jungle Love. And then Swing High, Swing Low. Starring Charles Butterworth. On Our Merry Way. Oh, and A Medal for Benny. That was good. We love Dorothy L'Amour.
How do you spell L'Amour, Carol? Is that L-A-M-O-U-R?
Mm, yes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, and they got me covered up to 1943. And then High, Wide, and Handsome. And then Caught in the Draft. And then And the Angels Sing. That's up to 1944. And then Pajama Party. And then A Man About Town. And then Manhandle, that's 1949. Horn of the North, Typhoon, Lulu Bell.
Bing or Bob Hope in most of the movies? Or did none of them get her?
None of them got her in Masquerade in Mexico. And
are
Wild
you looking
Harvest
at any list when you do that, Ian?
Good.
Is this
there
just
is
coming
no
to you?
List. There is no list. There's actually Variety Girl. One Ton Ton, the Dog Who. Oh, and College Holiday. Don't forget that one. And the Girl from Manhattan, 1948. That's when you were fixing to go to heebie-jeebies.
CBGBs. CBG, I was planning that.
Shh, don't tell them all, Bobby. They know everything. Yeah. If you tell them everything, they already think they know everything now.
They what?
So
they
that's
already
the answer,
think
that's,
they know.
That's the answer to your questions? Okay, can we go to the beach now?
No. I just want to look at the list. Check your list with the wiki.
Wait, let us put it in the wiki and then it'll match. Just a second.
Yeah. You put
okay, it now it's on there. You got it now? No problem?
Yeah, no, there's certainly not as many as...
We proved some Coldplay. We let them find a little bit of what you call your particle accelerator, this super energy in CERN this week. We let them find a little bit. It's not the real thing. It's going to end in tears, but we gave them a taste of it, Bob. But don't you say anything on this one. Don't you say anything on that goddamn radio. I thought you said you better not tell a living
CERN.
You better not tell them.
They don't understand it, right?
Don't tell them. It about blew. Hey, it didn't blow the thing up, but it about blew their mind.
Didn't blow the thing up. That's a good one. Where were we at? I was looking up the...
But that, you were looking at your Googler to see if you could prove what we just said.
The list of movies. The list of movies is so puny compared to what the list Ion gave. I named about 20 more than the list they have here. They list here Road to Singapore, Road to Zanzibar, Road to Morocco, Road to Utopia, Road to Rio, Road to Bali, and Road to Hong Kong. And there was a lot more after that. Crosby died in 77 when they were doing the Road to the Fountain of Youth. Did they keep doing it?
Oh, that's weird.
Did they keep doing the 50s and 60s? I don't believe that.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Jeez.
They had a franchise.
Well, they don't list them all. Okay, very good. I assume you're right. I can't keep looking. So go back to one more question that we didn't get figured out, Carolyn. You got your list there, maybe down the tonality.
Okay, the split between objectivity and subjectivity is triggered in the hypothalamus. What pulls the trigger?
Yeah. When you talk about the subjectivity, objective and subjective, is that a part of the fact there's two conversations? Does that theme enter into that, Ion?
It's that they've proven that there is a force.
Who proved that? CERN?
CERN. We let them.
You let them. And did they just do that this week?
No, they did it in April, but they're just trying to let you leak it out.
It's they've proved that they have a force?
The force.
What force?
The force is what gives a particle physics its power.
Is that the God's particle?
No, it's an energy field created by all living things.
All living things
create
energy.
It binds your galaxy together. It binds your galaxy together.
Now, would that be as a result of the fallen state, since the ascended wouldn't have to create that? So that's the fact within, the physical fact within the fallen condition?
You've already said too much, so no.
I mean, and I said too many words in that question?
No.
We've told too much. Okay, objective.
Thermodynamic injection energy.
All right, I'll put that in the background, Carol.
T-I-E.
Thermodynamic. injection energy?
Energy.
Yes.
What's the name of the person who's trying to patent that right now?
Paul Asmer.
Paul Asmer is named. That's a good one. It's the ion names absconder.
Absconder. The absconder. No, actually, he's smarter than you. His Googler is faster than your Googler, Bob. But don't worry, you've got enough money.
Carol?
Money, yes. You'll be able to buy his patent once he gets it. So there's no reason if you have to hurry when it's easily. You can just get it from the man. Swap him a bathtub full of Renew, and you'll be good to go, huh?
Okay, the original question was the split between objectivity and subjectivity is triggered in the hypothalamus.
So I wanted to start off, what is this split? Is it the two conversations in people? Is that a factor, Ion?
Maybe.
So what would you say next, Carol?
So then that's answering the question, is there a split?
Yeah.
So maybe.
Now, is it located somewheres?
Or is it located somewhere, or what pulls the trigger?
It ain't no fun when a rabbit's got the gun.
But is there a condition before the split of objectivity and subjectivity, and then something triggers the split, makes the split happen?
It's that hypotin.
Hypotin counts. Is that a substance?
Or hypotin L, the vasodilator.
There's hemopoietin, hypotin. Oh, hypotin L, okay. Sodium nitroprusside, a powerful vasodilator.
So what triggers hypotin L to trigger the split? A fallen condition?
A specific ion.
Did you know there are different kinds of ions, Carol?
Yeah.
There are? But they have different
everything
charges.
Everything is an ion. Everything can break down to an ion. I mean, they're all the metals and elements. So the specific ion that triggers hypotin L is probably a magnesium ion, right, Ion?
A nitroprusside. But we don't know nothing. Don't mind us.
So I think we'll open the phones for the masses to come in and
Lord, something catches. About time three of them died.
Three of them died on the, during this 3-hour extravaganza. Do you want to say Barbara?
And the ships
Barbara Peters
on the shore of this.
Barbara Peters.
Aisle.
Barbara Peters requested
Miss
to be on my Facebook. And don't
Skipper
go to Ionic How Ionic Barbara.
A millionaire and his wife. And a movie star.
Did you finish off that question? Like, did you ask, does objectivity and subjectivity involve the two kinds of memory? Do you want to know that before we finish that topic?
It does involve the two kinds of memory, right, Ion?
Yes, but you better leave thimerosal out of it, though.
Yeah, thimerosal, that's a mercury that can kill your brain.
Yeah,
okay,
well, that's we're about that. That might be all right.
Okay, we're done for that little...
So the lines are open for people to...
Thank you, Ion. Brilliant, beautiful.
Thank you for our part.
Bye.
Now we'll see what the people come up with. You're welcome to ask questions of Ion.
I have follow-up questions.
That's not a question. That's a statement.
Oh, go ahead. Did somebody else say something first, or I didn't...
Yeah, it's Eliza. You just state the question, Eliza, or you're going to get knocked out.
Connie asked, did the Egyptians know that the hypothalamus was the seat of the soul? Ion, you said they did. That's why they put it in a different jar. So if the hypothalamus is the seat of the soul, does that mean that that's where the soul is located?
Nope.
Where is the soul located?
Jar of hearts.
The pericardial fluid has an ohmage of 4, and resistance is measured in ohms, current is measured in amps. you gave us the amperage of the pericardial fluid. You didn't give us the current. Was there a reason for that? You didn't give us the amps?
Well, you've learned to live half alive, and now you want me one more time. And who do you think you are, running around leaving scars, collecting your jar of hearts, and tearing love apart? You're going to catch a cold.
What organ or part of the body has the highest ohmage?
The third eye chakra.
Is that the pineal gland?
Yay!
It connects.
What does Solomon or Solomon's Temple have to do with knowing about ascended knowledge?
Jar of Hearts.
And that's a song, Jar of Hearts?
Yeah.
What was it about the hypothalamus that they wanted to save?
The Jar of Hearts.
You said that's where source passes through or is. Is that correct? What did they use the hypothalamus for? Eliza's going into all about the hypothalamus.
Into parts of the hypothalamus?
Don't you know I'm not a ghost anymore? You lost the love I love the most.
How
I learned to live half alive. Now you want me one more time.
We have to bring this song.
Sue will like this too.
Okay. George's mental doodles arrived right on time, 11 o'clock.
From a little cave in the bowels of Canada.
Okay. We will now click on the song.
No, I can't take one more step towards you, 'cause all that's waiting is regret. Don't you know I'm not your ghost anymore? You lost the love I love the most. I learned to live half alive, and now you want me one more time. And who do you think you are? Collecting a jar of hearts and tearing love apart. You're gonna catch a cold from the ice inside your soul. So don't come back for me. Who do you think you are? I hear you're asking all around.
I had missed the first
The singer is Christina Perry doing Jar of Hearts.
That answers all the questions.
Because it's about the jar that the Egyptians put the hypothalamus in, the Jar of Hearts. Is that what you're thinking of?
No. We don't think. Yes.
I know. Go ahead.
Okay, go back to doing what you were doing now, Bob. We're sorry we disturbed you, Bob. Go back to your business.
Go ahead.
The next question was, the two parts of the pericardium, the inside outside, are one in an ascended man. So, Ayn, what happens to the pericardial fluid then?
It changes. When the hydrogen changes, super sugar puts an extra carbon in that mix, and it changes the viscosity of the actual pericardial fluid, heavy, as it were.
Oh, it makes it heavier. So when those two parts become one, it makes it heavier.
Those words, you need Dr. Dean, and she's fixing to do pizza, so you're going to have to hurry up. But we got to get this back a little bit because the molecular structure of that changes, and she's going to want that. But see, there it is.
Bob, is Connie coming back on?
No, you carry on. You carry on. Careful listening.
Okay, just a few questions on chromosome 14. What function does it play in little man?
Well, it really wouldn't.
It doesn't do anything in little man? How about in an ascended man?
Everything.
What's the difference between chromosome 14 in an ascended man and little man? I know you just said it doesn't do anything in little man, and it does everything in an ascended man. Can you just talk about that a little bit more?
I don't think the phrase, can you talk a little bit more, helps. You need to be more specific. Or is that those words good enough, Ayn, for you to talk a little bit more about it?
No, because it's going to make us into a spin you'll not soon forget.
A what? A spin you'll not.
A spin.
So you got to be particular, like, Eliza.
Particular, okay. We were talking a bit about chromosome 14 being activated. Is it activated in little man as well as in ascended man?
It has to be activated in little man, because in an ascended man it would already be. It wouldn't be activated, it would already be. You got to turn it off to follow.
Do you get that, Eliza? You lose it. No. You lose its function when you fall. So the RNA drops re-trigger it to be functioning.
But wasn't there the situation where you talked about the chromosome 14 can usher in behaviors in little man that some people describe as negative? What about that?
Yeah,
that's part of chromosome 14.
Right. What about that, though?
What about that?
I want to know how are memories stored and where are
they? They're not stored.
How can we remember and look back?
You don't. Every time you reassemble or re-put back together, it's just a new portion.
How do cells really communicate with each other? Is it chemistry or is it frequency or electric impulses?
Oh, Lord. You did right. It's already in Bob's inbox. It's not a song. We're going to finally show him how to do something.
Who are you going to show?
You.
I would also like to know where those letters come from. Were they given to us by angels?
No. Little man made it up from angel positions.
What about the words that are not, like time and soul and all the false premises we named? if we name them, they're supposed to exist, but you say they don't exist.
That's right, they don't.
But you said once everything we name exists.
Well, then we didn't say you couldn't create it. We said you have to create it.
Do these things exist only in the labyrinth of the mind and not in what we call reality?
What about that, though?
Okay, that's interesting. I just posted the letter from Eric McLuhan to Don Thiel about how memory is a creative act. So we don't store, you said, I, and we get a new portion. We expose, reveal, create a new portion when we're remembering. Is that what you were trying to say?
Obsoness and replete to a new topic that you come back to close to where you were.
You said replete. So that would be...
Hypertext.
So then what did you ask before short-term memory? What was your first topic?
Something about greasing up a great big man.
How were your memories stored?
That was a question, but was there a question before that? Another topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, Abhata and I were talking about the chromosome 14 in little men, and we never got that really answered because I was saying that chromosome 14 was said by Ion to be activated in little man to get them into their addiction patterns, etc. So I don't know why Ion said that chromosome 14 is not active in little man.
Because that was not her question. That was not her position. She was asking the difference between the ascended man and the little man, and we say it's not. You don't turn chromosome 14 off to make an ascended man a little man any more than you turn it on to make an ascended man. It's the process that is complete. The rings and arms are opened or they're not. You have a chromosome 14 in both states. One is what you call dormant, one you call active. Maybe that's a better way to describe it.
So in little man, the chromosome 14 would be dormant and not helping them in any way in their ascension.
Or as you say, not dominant. So the myocardial will split and cut off and make a new chromosome 14 without the completion of the rest of the tactile information, right?
Yeah, but you mean mitochondrial?
The splitting of the copy before it is complete.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you were saying myocardial because that sounds like a heart. Where's the mitochondria?
Mitochondria.
Good. Okay. Okay.
And Connie, I also asked about what happens to the pericardial fluid when the two parts of the pericardium come together.
Right.
You got the jar of hearts. The jar of hearts.
So your the bag is like a jar, and I heard that the super sugar gets thickened, and that's what kind of adheres the two bags together, the fibers and the serous, and they become one. Is that right, Ion?
Yeah, and then that goes into the chemistry lesson that Bob has for you now.
Roxy, do you remember what your first question was, or was it short-term memory?
How did Elvis Presley live when he died? Yes. Right.
What was your question? You remember it, Roxy?
It was about memory.
How is memory stored? Is it stored somewhere in the body?
That was your beginning.
Because,
okay.
Many
we got that.
Scientists think it has to do with something with the synapses of the cells.
Synapses. So you get that. He says
don't be correct in Luckenbach.
Ion, you said that memory doesn't exist. It's a new portion of experience. There's no past that you're retrieving. That's what you're saying?
That is correct, Bob.
It's expanding your now.
It's taking an old thing that you thought was, that used to be, that might have been, but it can't be because it's not now, and putting it together from what you call memory, which is not the recollection or the recoil of some long-term, short-term connection of where you stowed it and found it again. It's fresh and new every single time.
So then you asked a new question, Roxy. What was your next question?
How do cells communicate?
Oh, yeah.
Very well.
Yeah, you got the how there.
Well, I want to know how cells communicate.
And
the way they communicate is very well.
Is they communicate very well. So.
And then he said it's in your box.
Yeah, we'll get that. That's going to be a chemistry lesson. It's a video. But before we hear that, let's hear what more is it.
They got a video. He's got the video going on. They got videos on these things.
So, Rusty, do you think there's chemistry involved? You want to know if non-physical is involved with the cellular? Give some qualifiers to the communication.
No, the thing is, I think we're supposed to be learning to talk, right?
Yeah.
And I think we have tried to sort of talk right and store this talking in many ways. That's how we created media and alphabets and books and different systems to store what we think we know.
Yeah.
What we know. That's the point.
Yes. Yes, because as you say, many things that should not be now are, and we have to create new words for these things, or are we still going to be talking or not? Only communicating, but not with words?
Are you insisting the video has the answer, Ion?
No.
Okay, I'm going to play this video.
Can you tell us the title of the video?
Hey, aren't you listening? We're playing a video.
Just tell us the title. I want to...
Okay, this is called Chemistry Lesson 29, Structural versus Molecular Formula. So that would fit, Roxy, that structure versus form, molecular. What's the content? What's the form?
What is going on, guys? Welcome to your 29th tutorial, and in this tutorial, I'm going to be talking about the different kinds of formulas, structural formula and molecular formula, and why you can't just use them interchangeably, that you actually need to use structural formulas, not most of the time, but whenever you want to specify really clearly what it is you're looking for. So what the heck am I talking about? Well, let me go ahead and explain with an awesome example. Say you were the head of some some awesome chemistry lab, and you were working on, it really doesn't matter what you're working on, to be honest, but for the sake of this example, say you were working on the next type of biofuel that's going to be super clean, super easy, and super cheap. So you say, okay, you turn to your two assistants and tell them that you need this compound, C2H6O, and they say, okay, Bucky, we'll go ahead and we'll make that for you right away. So one of your assistants brings back this, I'll just go ahead and draw it before, because if I try to talk when I'm drawing, I'm going to mess it up. So remember, the formula is the same. The only instructions you gave them is C2H6O. So they bring back something like this. Bang, 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 bang. So you go ahead and you make sure it's all right. Okay, do we have 6 hydrogens? Yep. Do we have 2 carbons and 1 oxygen? Okay, we are good to go. So then your other assistant brings back something like this. I probably should have drew these before I started my tutorials, but I am way too lazy to draw and then teach. Gotta compound that crap. Do both at the same time. So let me go ahead and finish drawing this, and you guys can just wait and watch patiently. Make sure I got all my bonds. So then you say, okay, let me take a look at this now. Okay, you got 2 carbons and then the oxygen and 6 Okay, six hydrogens, but what the heck? This is totally a different compound than this. Actually, to be honest, and I'm not just making this up, this right here is a type of alcohol that you find in tequila, and this is, it's an ether that they use in like some industrial products. So this is definitely toxic if you drink this right over here. But anyways, they both followed your instructions, but they came back with two totally different compounds. So whenever you have an atom that's bonded differently, it can make two or more completely different compounds. And whenever this has happened, whenever this happens, it's called an isomer. So just remember that term because it's actually pretty important. An isomer is a compound with the same exact molecular formula, but it's basically two different structures. So in order to be 100% clear, you should have gave them the structural formula instead of the molecular formula. Again, these things right here are called the structural formulas, pretty much how the atoms are bonded together. And this right here is called the molecular formula, pretty much how much of each atom you want in there. So that is the difference between a molecular formula, which is this thing right here, and the structural formula down here, and why it's better to use structural formulas most of the time. So that is the basis for this tutorial. In the next tutorial, I don't even know. Actually, I'm going to be covering electronegativity, I think, and it's going to be a blast. So thank you guys for watching. Don't forget to subscribe, and I will see you guys later.
Eliza, you notice I'm looking at the video. He's got a little human face in his designs, okay?
Are you talking about that yellow thing moving around?
No, the little face. He puts a little face in there. He doesn't mean it, but I'm thinking he's including the human in the formula, which is what we learned to do a month ago, 6 weeks ago. He's got a little human in the middle of the bonding.
Yeah.
That's
but he
funny.
Didn't, I mean, at the end, he was just throwing his arrows around. He didn't even really appreciate what he was saying. The molecular formula was just the three letters and the three numbers and the structural formula. He did two of them, and it made you think that he was drawing.
Yeah, he mixed it up.
He mixed it up.
Yeah, he was
But
lazy.
The molecular formula was the three letters and the three numbers, and the structural formulas were those two
bonding things.
Bonded, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see the little human face in the middle? Why has he got a little human face in there?
I don't see a human face.
Yeah, look at the little dots, the eyebrows.
No.
Okay, you don't see a human face, bad.
Like two eyes and the mouth.
Yeah, see the two eyes and the mouth, Carol?
Nope.
What do you mean,
What's going on, guys?
Welcome
to your...
He hasn't shaven in about 3 days. It's got a little fall apart.
Yeah, okay, Carol, what it is, you see the HCH, the vertical HCHs on the left?
Yeah,
now
he's just trying it now.
He's got a little circle.
It's just a little sun that's making
No,
that.
No. You see the little circle between the C and the C on the left thing with two
Obviously,
dots?
Obviously, I don't.
Well, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the wrong lesson?
Oh, I'm into 30.
Oh, you're doing 30.
Is there like a syntax in the atoms structures? Like, those are the same atoms, but a different structure brings a different compound. So is that the same with everything, like with words?
It's like your chromosome 14. One is a molecular formula and the other is the structure.
Okay, now we have to figure out what Ion's referring to because we got this guy's definitions.
Because he said the little man has this chromosome 14, but maybe it's arranged in a different way. That's why it's not really activated. I mean, the atoms are there, but it has a different structure.
Is that what you mean, Ion, when you say there's two kinds? One's a number, a letter number, and the others are bonding lines. You're saying this chromosome 14 has to be shown one or the other way?
No, well, we're saying that the difference between the formula and the actual structure, the definition is the same. Chromosome 14 is the same, but until you activate it, it's a different conversation. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but this guy's structure is just the bonding lines, and the molecular is the C2H6O. Are you talking on that simple descriptive video level of the difference between the two kinds of chromosome 14?
Yes.
So Carolyn is seeing the face. Now, is that a face, Carolyn? What is that?
No, that's just an oxygen with the four electrons around it.
Why are they doing just that one with the four electrons?
Because everything else has their bonds all taken care of with the little sticks between.
There's no bond. There's bonds there.
Well, there's two bonds, but there's stuff left over on an oxygen.
Oh, it's only one oxygen. Right. And it doesn't have a number, but it has four dots. What do you think the dots refer to?
The electrons left over.
From its use? Like, left over from what?
The bonds that aren't taken up in the
Okay.
The
because it's just used once. That means there's four others.
Right.
Okay. Back to you, Roxy. What's your question?
I see a similarity in the communication, even at the molecular atomic level. There is a structure and a form, like the content and the form.
Yeah, but you've got to be more specific. I don't know what you're referring to.
How things are created, for example, at atomic level.
Atomic level, you're calling that molecular?
Well, yes, molecular or atomic or cellular.
Okay. So what structure?
There is a structure, content, and form. It's like everything is communicating at all levels.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's structure and molecular. We don't know what ion means. You mean by structure ion the bonding lines, which we saw visualized in the video, and that molecular is the number? That's all you mean in talking about chromosome 14?
All we mean.
What I see is like everything is communicating, even in the micro. There is this communication.
Yeah. Everything is alive. Everything's alive. You might as well say that. Hey, Ian, I bet you some stuff that's not communicating, right?
Much is not communicating.
Yeah, see, Roxy, you can't say everything's communicating. There's much
coffee
that is not communicating.
Yes. Coffee don't fax worth a damn.
So what are you trying to say, Roxy?
Well, I'm just trying to understand, where is the information stored? If we don't have memory, how do we access our knowing?
If you know it, you don't access it. You know it.
Is there any, like, archive of formulas or... Okay, I want to know what makes a particle bond to another in a certain specific way to create and to form different elements or isomers.
Isomers, yeah.
Isomers.
Well, you respond to one word, Ion. What about the question? Are you ESPing an answer, Ion?
I'm just like, la, 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 la.
What's the silence mean, Ion?
Maybe he fell asleep.
Oh, then therefore it's in your inbox, Bob.
Ah, Deb.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a free conference call report that just came in. What is that number, 6691? Why does that calling number show up all the time? Ion. We did this session earlier today, so that's some kind of accounting check back. You don't know why that happens, do you, Ion?
Mm-hmm.
Ion, I want to know where are then the souls stored and what's going to happen to them now that there are no more Goths and people are ascending and there's no more need to have a soul, this recording.
Why don't you answer, Ion?
She said we were asleep and we're waiting on you to play YouTube.
Wake them up, Roxy. Tell them to wake up.
Wake up, Finnegan.
You should go back to your original question about structural and formula. You're piling on too many questions. Let's find out something.
Do you think they want to know?
Yeah, well, we're not getting anything.
Now, flog my ass.
I want to know how to flog your ass.
It's in Bob's inbox.
Okay, I'll check my junk mail. Flog my ass, squidbillies. Okay, guys, squidbilly time. Yes, they're being blocked in the junk mail. That's the problem.
What is the deal with that?
Outside, Glenn, you got an Era 43 replaced toner cartridge.
Ooh, my. Looks like the magenta. Damn, this is going to hurt.
Stand clear! Hurry now! Hurry! Take out their sexual harassment manual and hit me in the groin!
You're sure about it?
Hurry now!
Hard?
Thanks, damn it!
All right, I'll do it. Here.
Don't stop.
Now flog my ass. Now you're fucking with me. Nice one.
Sit that son of a bitch will fax now.
It never was able to fax. It's a coffee maker.
You dumbass, he can't fax coffee. Coffee don't fax worth a damn. Every time the rain hits it, it'll run. Damn. You a dumb son of a bitch.
Hey, man, what a mess. That was sick. Now, that supposedly answered the structural questions of Roxy?
Implicitly.
So, Roxy, they showed this guy tried to fax his... I don't know what he was trying to fax. His ass, and it just shit splattered all over the room.
And it's clear that he was trying to put ink in the toner cartridge of the coffee maker.
So, Roxy is trying to put ink into you. It's just ending up splattering about.
Coffee don't fax worth a damn, Bob.
Well, are you saying Roxy's question doesn't fax?
Doesn't put the right ingredients in.
We said you're putting ink into a coffee maker, and coffee don't fax.
Okay, so try your question again differently, Roxy.
Where is the soul stored, or where are the souls?
Yeah, where is the soul stored?
Within you, the Holy Hills.
In the Holy Hills.
The soul Holy Hills, you know that.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, so we got an answer there, Roxy. They are stored within you.
Stored in the house of flesh.
That's if you're ascended. If you're not ascended, it's not stored in the house of flesh, correct?
It's still stored in the house of flesh. It just doesn't interact with you.
Ah, so the ascended person interacts with it?
Well, obviously.
Ion, is this desire to decipher and know somehow encoded in us?
Yes. That's the difference between the molecular form and the molecular bonding, yes.
Between the molecular, what'd you say, formula and the bonding?
Molecular bonding, yes. It's in the tutorial.
And the formula? What was the other part?
The chemical equation and the chemical formula.
That's the difference. For the soul... In an unascended person.
Yeah.
Ion said the soul is stored in our flesh, meaning our skin. That's where it's located.
Bars of bones, oh my soul.
And the thoracic?
Yeah.
So the soul is located in the thoracic.
Yeah.
Ah.
Right. That's pretty good.
Finally got that question answered.
It only took 9 million years. You got it.
So what did we get there, Eliza? The soul is in the thoracic.
Stored. We couldn't store it, and we don't have long or short-term memory, so it's gone. And when we bump into it again, we'll find it out once again for the very first time that that's what it was. Isn't that cool?
Ayan said the soul is stored or located in the thoracic.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Ayan, you said the physical is eternal. How would you describe physical?
Almost eternal.
Okay, you use the word physical, like, versus meat sack. Like you say, the meat sack is a 3D version, so I want to know what you mean by physical then. What does physical include?
Physical would include an ascended self.
Did you say an unascended self or an ascended self?
An ascended self.
Is that ascended self physical?
We hope so.
Okay, so, Barbara, you guys are re-asking the questions we ask, which is good. You know, we get different answers.
And a few years ago, in the beginning, you used to speak a lot about being mortal versus eternal and keeping the meat sack
body here. Being immortal.
Immortal versus eternal. So there could be people keeping their meat stacks here for thousands of years or whatever, and being immortal versus someone who's ascended who is eternal. How are their bodies different? How would you describe the difference?
Like that.
Is that a tonality, what was being expressed there, Ayan?
Apparently.
That's a tonality, Barbara. You gotta watch those semantic meanings. They're preceded by grunts and tonality.
I see that many things are like in the process of discarnation. Like, for example, the text. And, well, everything is actually being translated into zeros and ones, for example. Denmark announced they will be the first country with no cash. But you say we are going to still keep in our physical or physicality. So I want to know what is happening in the world that, for example, visual space seems to be destroyed and many other things are losing their physicality.
So what's your question? You say you want to know. You have to have a question about it.
I want to know what's happening with the physicality of things. Like, I see there are earthquakes everywhere. Is it like tuning in to this new frequency, this new tonality, all this shaking?
Earthquakes. Well, you went to another topic. You said, is there physics in the discarnate ozone one reality, Ion?
Physicality.
Yeah. If ozone one is making everybody appear not 3D anymore, is that a physical process?
I want to know what's going on with the visual space, for example. All these sinkholes and all these earthquakes. What seems to be destruction, but I think is some type of morphing.
You mean the outer kingdom? You say visual space. What's going on in the outer kingdom? What's wrong with her questioning process, Ion? That elicits no response.
Okay, I can go to sleep.
Well, let me see if Ion's still here, just a second. No, Ion's gone. That's one reason why we're getting no answer.
How does Ion describe physical? I don't think we have a working definition, or his working definition.
I agree. We haven't got a definition on anything. It's always altering.
But lately he said everything is cells, like
right.
We are cells.
And,
so.
But then, Rashi, below that he said we're tonalities or frequencies. That's what we learned last week. Frequencies and tonalities are before the cellular.
I mean, it sounded like you're adding on layers and layers in the muscles, and you do the organs and the muscles and so forth. And then is that what he would call physical after it's created? But then he says it's just a meat sack and it's a 3D version, so I'm clear about that.
The ascended physical is not anything that you think is physical. It could enjoy the physical, but it's not limited to that. There are images of it. That seems to be what's constant. That's why Ayn says we're not into the human form. We're not impressed with the human. Because that's something stuck in the 3D.
So is it kind of, I visualize when you say that, like an etheric body then? Like not something solid.
That brings in a lot of stuff that other cultures have already created. Sounds like Ayn's not impressed with cultural imagery. But I don't think these things have been made clear. They may not be made clear because it always comes down to you create what you want. When I say something, Ayn says, yeah, that's okay, as if, well, I said it, therefore it is. So we're trying to find out what kind of words evoke answers.
I want to know what the ascended physical looks like versus just the regular meat sack. If the meat sack's not physical.
Well, you got to write that down and ask it next time.
And it helps when we stay on a topic and we develop it more.
Yeah, you've got to do some details. You got to say some facts you've heard. Like you say, Roxana, I want to know. That covers saying how or why or what. I want to know how. But you might have to say a detail about what you want to know about before you say, I want to know. Someone burp?
Yeah. Sorry. Muting myself. You don't have to mute me.
Who are you?
That's Yuri.
Oh, Yuri,
no,
yeah.
Gotti.
Who's Gotti? Is that Yuri's new name?
No, it's not Yuri. It's Gotti.
Do we have a reference for you from before?
Nope.
Why are you here?
I'm here to answer all the little blanks that are left around the big fill-ins.
Okay, guys, start. Roxy, ask him a question. Let's get this guy.
I'm sorry, I was dropped.
Okay, Roxy fell off. Now she's back. We have a new person here named Gotti who says he will answer the fringe areas around the big questions. We have a competitor with Ayn.
What's your background first?
My background is orange and magenta.
Okay.
Is that a shirt?
Go ahead, Roxy.
Or a bathing suit?
It's what you like to feel in the morning before you have your breakfast.
It's fabric.
We can call it that, yes.
So that's his background. You got that?
Yeah, go ahead, Roxy. You have questions?
Give him one of your complicated questions, Roxy.
Please do a prolegomena on social media ecology.
Yes, do a prolegomena, an introduction to media ecology, Gotti.
Okay. Media ecology. One example. The channel that it sits on, this channel being its bloodlines or pipelines, or let's just say it's the water that keeps it going. Right?
Would no, don't say right. We don't know.
Yeah.
You can't say right.
Right.
Based on minerals and materials that are exchanged as currency. So, these minerals, resources, materials are also used
to
make
What a waste of time.
If you're talking the ecology here, you have to get a little specific.
We might sound to people who have no idea what you're talking about.
That's quick. Roxy, give him a little effort. He's floundering, but let him try to correct his bad syntax. I don't even know what he said so far.
I'm already bored, so I'm leaving. A sequence of words and nonsense and stupid things.
That's right, Gotti. You flunked on that one.
The thing is, it's really how we should sound to people who may have not been listening for a while, but I don't want to engage such nonsense. Bye.
I'm only your mirror, Roxy.
No, you're arguing for your limitations.
I'm only your mirror, Roxy.
What's it mean to say you're a mirror? You know, changes.
Yes, mirrors do change. But even though I have a slight delay on what I give back, it's quite accurate from what's been projected to begin with. If it might be 3 seconds behind.
No, it can't be accurate. Mirrors change the content that's projected at it. When you're looking at a mirror, it's not looking like the thing that's looking at it.
You're very right. So what do you think about the Christ sequence being used as a weapon against the masses?
The masses of electrons? Qualify the masses of what? Of potato chips?
If you want to advertise it like that, but don't you think potato chips are very Christian?
No. No, not at all. I've never seen them sitting at Mass beside me receiving the communion. I've never seen a pile of potato chips there receiving the Mass.
Potato
you don't think just an advert for what Christianity has achieved throughout mankind?
That's a thousands of years of a historical media process coming out of the phonetic alphabet. Who are we to judge the millions of people engaged in that?
Is it a matter of sub-gleaming one else's harvest?
Sub-gleaning
exactly.
One's elder. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're going with the nutball. Yeah, you're relying on the nutball answer from Sarah just to give you a way out. That doesn't fool me.
Gotti, don't play that. If you want the right answer, you have to accept the dirt first.
You see? There's your rule.
Gotti out. Gotti out.
You're so unionic. I would never say you have to accept something.
I'm going to say it that way. Take it or leave it.
Oh, Ion's back. Okay.
Yay.
Start back at Ion.
Ion, you saw that imitation of your performance?
By Gotti? Did you like that? Did you like Gotti, Ion?
Do.
Do? You said do, but subdued do. That was a subdued do, right?
Do. What about that do?
What about that do?
Okay, come on, guys, let's go. Let's get back in some questions. Get Ion speaking again.
Ion, I want to know the difference between the ascended physical body versus the unascended physical body.
A little different frequency.
So what is a frequency made up of? If it has no beginning, it has no substance. What is a frequency?
The mark between 1 pi and 2 pi and an amperage.
That's a graph.
Vibration?
No, listen. He just said he's talking about trigonometry, and he's showing a graph. So that's a visualization, Ion. You've taken a word, which is sound, frequency, and translate into another modality, sight. Now, how is that an answer if you're just going from eye utterance to visual utterance?
The space between the visual knowing and the experiencing of the visual space.
Wow.
No, that's tactility. Now, it gets into the interval where the action is. And what was your question, Barb?
Ascended physical versus the unascended physical body.
Yeah, okay. Now he's saying the difference is this space in between. See, we're starting to get somewhere here.
Frequency.
The loop and the frequency of an aperture.
That's the wire whisk. Visually, that's the wire whisk?
Mm-hmm. It is, and perfect imperfection.
So you ask so the question, Barbara, the answer is always going to be incomplete because it'll be in one modality, one sensory modality. But if he's a little more sophisticated, he says it's in between two modalities if you catch him on the fact he's only talking on one modality. So we've got him between the ear and the eye, and it's this gap. That's the process we're evoking.
So this means the frequency is measured in amps?
In hertz.
Ohms. Ohms.
But you mentioned amps, too. Can you tell us what the frequency is for the ascended physical being?
We did that 100 years ago. It's in the recording. Look it up.
Yeah, that's those are the numbers that Ginny knows.
Yeah, I think I have it written.
Okay, so we get some number. That ain't going to tell you anything.
How do you make your pre-cells frequency to start vibrating in that frequency? How do you tune to this frequency?
Like, say you don't,
you
object? It tunes to you. It tunes to you.
See, you don't have to do anything, people. 3, 2, 1, it. You don't have to make an effort. That's non-physical coming. You got it. Is that Gaudi?
Is that, who is that?
It's Roxy. I'm not sure. I can't tell which it is.
Is it Sarah?
Roxy's turning into an insect after reading William Burroughs.
No, I'm into a robot. No, I am. I am. Turning into a robot.
Was that you, Roxy?
A cucaracha, la cucaracha.
That's pretty good. Now, I don't know if that was Roxy. Was that you, Ion? Did you make that noise?
It's the metamorphosis.
Never, never.
Never. Never sounds the frequency. So you go metamorphosis. That's metamorphosis. Okay.
No more buzz.
Is that Roxy right there? Was that you, Eliza, or Sarah?
No, I think that's totally me. Sarah. I'm so proud of it.
Was that Sarah?
Yes.
And so you're the one doing it. Roxy's claiming it, but you're doing it.
No, someone else is helping or was doing it as well.
Okay, right.
I'll yeah.
Excellent. Okay, let's get direct some more stuff to Ion. Or do it
yeah.
Frequency module.
The Roach
doing it because it's
choir.
You want the Roach choir?